So I'm going to be talking about, in this message, details, the little details in things. And it wasn't, there was something that really caught my attention back in the summer of 1993. So as some of you know, my dad's a pastor, and at the time we lived in Iowa, and he took a call to Hilton Head Island, South Carolina. And so the first time I got to worship at Island Lutheran Church, I had just graduated high school in Iowa, so I didn't really know anybody down there. And one of the first things I noticed when I come into church, you know, I'm all ready to worship. I noticed the acolyte. Now, this particular acolyte was about the only teen at that time in this church. It was a smaller church at the time. And I just noticed. And so later on in the service, you know, I was really very focused, and maybe some of you experienced this. Maybe you started drifting a little bit during the worship service, during the sermon. It was my dad, remember, and I started drifting. And I happened to notice this acolyte again. And I said to myself, huh, she's pretty good looking. And 4 years later of convincing this acolyte, she eventually married me. But I noticed those little details. She was in the first service. I told her she's not a little detail. But that's not the kind of things you're supposed to notice when you come into church, right? But I noticed her. And I learned, you know, paying attention to things is very helpful, especially when we read God's word. Paying attention to something that may seem like it doesn't mean anything, or it's just inconsequential, a wasted word or whatever. Paying attention to those things can really help us understand what is going on. And that's exactly the case here with the Bible event we are going to look at here in Matthew chapter 9. So let's take a look at Matthew chapter 9, verses 35 through 38. I'm going to read the first two verses. And Jesus went throughout all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues and proclaiming the gospel of the kingdom and healing every disease and every affliction. When he saw the crowds, he had compassion for them because they were harassed and helpless, like sheep without a shepherd. So I'm not going to read the final two verses yet, because that's really the climax here of these verses, is when he's going to get to, there's a lot of people out there who need to hear the good news. But before we get to that, these are the little things that jumped out to me in these first two verses, specifically verse 36. And that first thing is it says, Jesus saw. Jesus saw the crowds. Who has ever felt like no one saw them before? Who's felt like they're invisible? Who's felt like you just are never noticed? Nobody sees you. They can look right. It seems like maybe people are looking right through you and not paying attention. And so I'm guessing a lot of us maybe have felt this way at some point, maybe some more than others. But a lot of times this feeling will lead to loneliness. And nobody likes to be alone. And there's a lot of people in our world today that feel alone, that feel like they're not seen, that feel like they're invisible. Jesus saw the crowds. So I looked into this loneliness thing. In one of the articles I read, these are a couple of snippets. First one that I found interesting was, people have worked to solve the loneliness issue in a variety of ways. One company designed a robot to hold someone's hand when they're lonely. And one man charges people to simply sit with them and do nothing. This is how lonely some people are, where a company has made a robot to come sit with you. And there's some guy profiting off your loneliness. He's charging you just to come sit with you so you don't feel alone. Japan has appointed a minister of loneliness to try and help out in the country of Japan with their more and more people because of COVID are feeling lonely and isolated with everything that happened during COVID. They named a minister of loneliness. Alone. People feeling alone, like nobody sees them. You know, it's an important thing to notice, to pay attention to see somebody. And this was another little snippet from that article I read, that a little boy was mourning the loss of his mom. His mom had died, and he was obviously very sad, and especially at nighttime, he felt very sad and lonely. He would go into his dad's room at night wanting to sleep with his dad. And so, of course, his dad allowed him. But even then, it wasn't quite enough for this boy who was very sad and felt alone. He couldn't fall asleep until his dad actually turned and faced him. And when his dad was actually looking at him, he could go to sleep. But this is a real thing that goes on in our world, people feeling this way. And that is why this simple word in verse 36 really grabbed my attention. Saw. Jesus saw the crowds. That's a detail Matthew didn't have to give us in order to get to the point of this particular section of Matthew's gospel. He didn't have to tell us this. But I think he told us this to show us what kind of a Savior we have. And we have a Savior who sees you. When you may not feel like anybody sees you, Jesus sees you. And so what does Jesus see? Back to verse 36. He sees a people. It says in the English Standard Version here, who were harassed and helpless. This is what Jesus sees when he's looking at the people. A people harassed and helpless. And I'm not somebody that enjoys grammar or gets into it, never did. But this is interesting. From the Greek words that are used there, the passive forms of those words mean to flay and to throw down. To flay is peeling the skin back. Just to give you a little bit more imagery of the people that Jesus saw. These people are walking around like they have been skinned and thrown down to the ground. And this really emphasizes the evil that they were living in, the world, the sinful world that they were in. Jesus sees us. He saw them. Because, you know, this explains us too. When we feel harassed, helpless, when we feel like we've been skinned or been thrown down to the ground, Jesus sees us and cares. Because what does Jesus, when he sees what's going on, what does he do? It says there in verse 36, Jesus has compassion on the people. And this is another interesting thing about the Greek language. The word that's used here for compassion is splachna. I might be saying that wrong, but it kind of sounds like a German word, right? But it's splachna because it's the kind of compassion that comes from the gut. That's how deep-seated it is. Have you ever felt something so, you've been moved by something so much that it felt like it hit you in the gut? That's the kind of compassion that Jesus is having here. It's hitting him in the gut, seeing all these people walking around helpless and harassed, feeling like they're invisible. It hits Jesus in the gut. and he has compassion on them. Have you ever felt this way before? You felt so harassed and helpless? Because Jesus has the exact same compassion, that splachna, when he sees you. He cares that much about you and sees that we are harassed and helpless and we need help. It's the exact same compassion he has for us as he did for those people back in Matthew chapter 9. And it also says there in verse 36, another one of those little details is, he had compassion because they were like sheep without a shepherd. And like I mentioned during the confession time, we are compared to sheep a lot in the Bible. Sheep need to be taken care of. Sheep aren't completely dumb. They do dumb things, as we do, but they do some things that they understand their shepherd's voice. They know that. They know that their shepherd is protecting them and guides them. And Jesus is the shepherd that you and I need. So after Jesus saw the people and identified the problem, he saw the people and the problem they had. They were like sheep without a shepherd, thrown down, harassed, helpless. Now we get to the climax of this particular section of Matthew's gospel, verses 37 and 38, where it says this: Then he said to his disciples, "The harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore, pray earnestly to the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest." The fields are ripe. I know it's not the time that we harvest in Indiana now, but this is a different kind of harvest Jesus is talking about. And the fields are ripe. With people that are harassed and helpless and in need of knowing about this good shepherd that has compassion on them, that loves them enough that he came to lay down his life for them. The fields are ripe with people like this in our world today. And you know what? Jesus knows this. He knew this was the problem, which is why he came. You see, the Son of God, this is one of the coolest things. The Son of God came to be a human. He came to be one of the sheep. Even though he's the good shepherd, he also became one of the sheep who eventually went to that cross, shedding his blood. And because of the shed blood of the Lamb of God, you and I are saved. But Jesus knew that we needed help. We were wandering around like sheep without a shepherd. He became our shepherd. He is our shepherd. He came to save us sheep from falling into a crevice or from the wolves that are out there that try to prey on us. Because you know, that's exactly what Satan does. He preys on us. He wants you to think that you're all alone. He wants you to think that nobody sees you. How can anybody see you? You're invisible. That's what Satan and those wolves out there want you to think. But Jesus came to protect us from all that and to save us. And so now Jesus is sending out his disciples into the harvest fields, into these fields, to preach and to teach and to share the gospel message with people who need to hear it, which is our purpose. We talked about this a few months ago. Jesus called us the salt and the light. In a world where we struggle with our purpose and our identity, Jesus gave it to us. Our identity, our purpose, is to be the salt and the light. Our identity is in this good shepherd, in Jesus. And our purpose is to go out taking this message out into these fields that are ripe. I read a study done by a missiologist. And he discovered that 20% of non-Christians in North America, so not just the USA, but all of North America, 20% of those people surveyed, non-Christians, said they don't know any Christian personally. That equals out to 13,447,000 people. And most of those are in the U.S., by the way. That many people walking around not knowing a Christian, not knowing about this good shepherd, not knowing that Jesus came to save them, to die for them, to shed his blood for them. The fields are indeed ripe for a harvest, aren't they? Jesus says, the harvest is plentiful and the laborers are few. Therefore, pray. And this obviously includes praying that more pastors are sent out, more church workers are sent out. But this is also a charge to each and every one of you as disciples of Jesus to go out and share this good news of the shepherd to people who are harassed, helpless, who need to know it. Because we want all those people to be with us when Jesus comes back on that last day to take us all to heaven, don't we? Of course we do. And he says, therefore, pray. Because we are not alone in this. The Holy Spirit gives us the words to say when we are out there in those fields. Because he has compassion on them. Jesus died for everyone and wants everyone to know it. And it's in his name, amen. Will you please pray with me? Heavenly Father, we come before your throne this morning praising